Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast Drifting Ain't Easy. My name is Erica, and this week's episode will be a story time episode. I have compiled stories about my best and worst thrifting experiences since I became a reseller. As I tell each story, I definitely want you guys to use these past experiences as some do's and don'ts on both ends. So, if you were interested in hearing about some of my mistakes in the thrift store and some of my best thrifting experiences, just keep on listening.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I'm just going to jump straight into it. As you can probably guess as a reseller, your best experiences, at least from my point of view, some of the best experiences that I've ever had in the thrift store come when I specifically find something that is of value or something that I have personally been wanting for a while. And so I'm going to start us off with the best story, and then we're just gonna keep rotating. I'll go best, worst, and then we'll end the podcast episode on a high note. But we're gonna get started. So one of the best experiences I've ever had in the thrift store was finding an entire, and when I tell you entire, I mean entire, vintage Olympic collection at the Goodwill bins. I was at the Goodwill bins in my college town that I used to live in about 2 years ago. And it was during COVID times, and I went to the Goodwill bins and I found that someone had just donated everything that they had from the Olympics in Atlanta. So that was in about the 90s. And it was just amazing. It was so much stuff. It was so much just value I could find. The 1996 Olympics, I just looked it up. The 1996 Olympics, someone had donated everything. And when I'm telling you, I mean everything. There was a vintage Christmas ornament. Someone donated about 3 or 4 of their windbreakers and sweatshirts. And it was just the coolest experience ever, just to be the only one who was over there in that section, and I was just grabbing everything. It was amazing. It was so much fun to thrift and so much fun to see. I ended up flipping and selling all of the pieces individually, but I did keep the Christmas ornament, and it was just so, I loved it. It was such a good surprise to see at the thrift store. I'm not sure, you know, of course, how it got there, but I was very happy that it did get into my hands. And it was just such a good score. Finding vintage windbreakers is probably one of my favorite things, because when you get to see a windbreaker from the 80s or from the 90s, there's so much story behind it and there's so much story to tell with it. There are so many fun colors, so much going on, and also it's just such a comfortable and timeless piece that a lot of people want into their closets. It is a basic, but at the same time, it is a staple in a closet or on an outfit that you have picked out. And finding windbreakers has always been one of my favorite things to thrift. I went through a period where I would thrift a lot of windbreaker jackets and the jogger sweatpants, and those did so amazing for me. I don't currently sell them as much because it's so much harder to find, but there was a time when I was thrifting and reselling when I was on a roll finding vintage windbreakers and the matching sweatpants. And when I found that vintage Olympic collection at the Goodwill bins, I was so happy because that was during my peak of that. I remember I sold one of the jackets. It was the best jacket. And I remember selling one of the jackets, and it was just a beautiful, bold 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. And it had it was blue. It had the gold medals. It was amazing. And I remember selling that around the time of the last Olympics that just rolled around. And The person was so excited to receive their jacket. I sold it on Depop, and I was also just excited to package that up and to sell it around an Olympic time of the year was also really fun. And then I did find a matching sweatshirt to go with the windbreakers, and I sold that one recently. I've had that one for a while, but I had only listed it on Poshmark, and I was like, why is this not moving on Poshmark? So of course I put it on Depop. That wasn't really moving on Depop. I tried Curtsy, it wasn't moving on there. And I was just thinking, I was like, what am I doing? I used to sell vintage sweatshirts and vintage pieces, individual items on Etsy all the time. So I threw it on Etsy and it ended up selling on Etsy. So I had that sweatshirt for a few years, which was definitely longer than I wanted to have it, but the second I threw it on Etsy, it sold pretty quickly after, so I was very happy about that. But finding that entire Olympic collection was so much fun. It was such a great thrift find for me, because it was definitely a staple in my closet. A lot of people were seeing what I was selling, and to have full-on Olympic gear from the last time the Olympics were in America was so cool. All right, now we are going to flip it to some of my worst thrifting experiences. Originally, this episode was supposed to just be about my worst thrifting experiences, and I was like, no, I've got to bring in some good. I've got to bring in some lighthearted content here, because it is hard to just listen to an episode where everything is negative. But I do want you guys to learn from these experiences, because some of these are my fault and some of these are not necessarily my fault. But we're gonna move over to one of the worst thrifting experiences. And this wasn't something that I had, but it was something at my thrift store. So a few weeks after I found that entire Olympic collection at the Goodwill bins, someone at the same Goodwill bins found old food in the bins weeks later. So I'm not going to harp on this. I'm not going to go into detail on this, but make sure you are wearing, and if you would like to, you don't have to if you don't want to, but if you would like to, I cannot encourage you enough to wear gloves when you go to the Goodwill bins. The Goodwill bins, it is the same process as a normal Goodwill, but some things get lost in the mix. So just make sure you are taking enough care of yourself, because the Goodwill bins does have a lot of, you know, things you don't really want to see in the thrift store there. So just definitely make sure you were taking care of yourself when you go into the thrift stores, and wear gloves if you can and if you want to, because that has been something that has helped me, especially when COVID was going on. I did have like a lot of anxiety about it, so I would make sure to wear gloves and my mask, and that just made me comfortable when I go into the thrift stores. And that's just something that I still kind of keep up when I'm going, especially to a place like the Goodwill bins. So next we're going to bump over to another good experience that I've had. And this is something that I cannot recommend enough. Back when I was in college, I would do thrifting road trips. Those were some of my most, those were some of the best times for me when I had to thrift. I would typically get burnt out thrifting at the same thrift stores in my college town. And sometimes I would go to the town over, but there was nothing like going on a mini road trip a couple hours away and just spending the entire day thrifting and finding new products. So I would do those road trips about quarterly, so about four times a year while I was living in my college town, because I would be there year round. So there was definitely leeway for summer, so I'd probably do two in the summer and then one at a random time of the year, and then another time of the year. But I would do those quarterly, and I cannot encourage you enough. I have since left my college town, and I still do thrifting road trips, not at the extent that I used to, but being able to go specifically to a place where you have researched the thrift stores available, the shops you want to check out, and you can come away with as many new items as you can is such a great feeling. Specifically, going and gearing your thrifting road trips around expensive neighborhoods or fun places that have, you know, are going to have a lot of vintage items. I would dedicate so much time researching what places I wanted to do a thrifting road trip to. And I would map out every single Goodwill that I wanted to hit up, every single Salvation Army that I wanted to hit up. I had a plan fully mapped out, and I was so excited for it. And that is just something that definitely made me love thrifting and love getting out of town and thrifting and doing different things like that. Because if you don't enjoy your job, it's going to be a lot harder to do. And there were times when I definitely got burnt out because I was professionally going to the thrift store. And I used to have so much fun going to the thrift store when it was just me looking for clothing for me. But when I threw in a job and making money out of it, it did become hard for me to actually enjoy experiencing going into a thrift store. So I changed my mindset a little bit, and I would reward myself with days where I could explore new cities, but also explore new thrift shops and come back with some memorable items and come back with some items where I got to, flip them and sell them and do really well with them. So I would make sure I would go to certain towns, I would look up how many thrift stores they have in the area, and all of that. And it was just so much fun. I went to college in Florida, so sometimes when I would do these thrifting road trips, I would go out of state. So, because I was in North Florida, I was not in South Florida. You're probably like, how do you do that? No, when I was in North Florida, you are extremely close to Georgia and extremely close to Alabama. So I would go to other states to do thrifting, and I had so much fun when I would do that. And I really, really, really love doing that. So have those moments where you can just find new places to explore and new thrift stores to try out, and just give yourself a day to learn a new city and also learn what thrift stores they have there. You don't have to do it a lot because it is kind of expensive to pay for the gas and to bulk up on how much stuff you're going to thrift and all that kind of stuff. But I would do those maybe quarterly, and I would set myself to maybe like a 2 hour driving limit, if that. Majority of the places I went were like an hour and a half. But my limit would typically be about 2 hours away from home, and that would be my thrifting day trip. And I'm just naturally a person who enjoys a good day trip, so it was never really hard for me to tell myself to get out of the house and go somewhere new. So those were some of my best thrifting experiences of going to Alabama or going to Georgia, or sometimes even going to both because they're bordering states, and just going thrifting there because I could come away with so many cool vintage items. I love finding like sports tees and vintage sports tees and stuff like that, and going to these different states where I could find different teams that these people are a fan of was so much fun and very beneficial for my business. So I would always come back with the goods when I did these thrifting road trips. Now we're gonna flip back to the worst. The next experience was not so much fun. I found a vintage pair of Air Force Ones, and I was convinced this was at the height of when everybody was wearing Air Force Ones. And these were vintage nonetheless, but I was convinced that these would not last in my closet at all. Like, they were not the best, ex they were not in the best condition, but they were vintage and they were Air Force Ones. Like, they were wearable. And having shoes is not my forte as a reseller. I just don't really care for it, especially shoes where you have to make sure they're clean and they don't smell. And I just was not clashing with these Air Force Ones. Like, it just was not a good experience for me. I cleaned them to the best of my ability, but still, no one would buy these. It was so annoying. I kept having to lower the price, and I just wanted them out of my house. Like, I really just wanted them out of my house because I didn't want to see them. And I was just so convinced. I saw them at the store and I was so convinced. I'm like, these are going to sell. But that's the thing where it's just like, just because it's vintage does not mean that it's going to automatically fly off the shelves. Like, not everybody wants certain items. And my problem with that situation was my price point. I was selling them for way more than they were actually worth. And I had to learn from that. I looked online and I saw people selling them for the similar prices. But the thing was, I just have to understand that I need to be competitive when it comes to my pricing. And that's something that I have learned through the years and something I'm still learning. You can see that other people are selling things for a similar price or they're selling them for a higher price, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to price it at the same price point, because a lot of people are looking at them selling it for said price and they're still like, I'm not buying that, especially for shoes that are used, that are old, that are gonna fall apart. Because the thing about vintage items, vintage clothing will last a long time. Vintage shoes are a whole different ball game. Shoe quality goes down very easily, and it also is where you can really see the most damage and the most age when it comes to clothing items is in shoes. And when I was looking at these Air Force Ones, I was so fascinated with one, being able to tag it as vintage, and two, being able to tag the item as being a Nike Air Force One shoe. So much so to the point where I didn't even think about, I need to price this reasonably so that someone will actually buy it off of my hands. Moral of the story is I eventually sold the shoes, but it took way longer than it should have and way longer than I wanted to. And that's where I was just not, I don't know, I was just not very pleased with that sale. And since then, I've kind of taken myself off from selling shoes. It's not my forte. And if I do sell shoes, I always make sure that they are brand new. There was a phase when I sold a lot of shoes, and shoes have done really well for me. So this is not to say if you are a shoe seller, this is not to say you won't do well. I personally just did not do well in the cleaning process, and so much with it I was just not willing to do, because I have been so, I guess, spoiled by clothing where you make sure you wash it and you sanitize it and you're good. But with shoes, sometimes there's a lot more that you have to do, and I was just not willing to do that. But I did sell shoes for a little while, but they were new shoes, like brand new shoes, never worn, and that did really well for me. So shoes do well. It's just the premise of that particular shoe that I got, and I was thinking I could price it at whatever I wanted to and it would do well, just was not true. And that was definitely a reality check moment for me. This next experience isn't necessarily a thrifting experience, but it is still one of those moments where you're like, oh wow, I'm very excited. So I was shopping at Dirt Cheap, and if you don't know what Dirt Cheap is, Dirt Cheap is a liquidation store that is out of the South. So they have those in Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, and Texas. And they have those in a couple other states, I believe, but those are definitely the biggest ones. So Dirt Cheap isn't technically thrifting, but it definitely feels like it, because you're finding bargains left and right, and they have really nice clothing. But it's a liquidation outlet in the South. And I was just shopping at Dirt Cheap, and I found this beautiful dress. This beautiful sequin dress, and it was around Christmas time, so New Year's was coming up, and I was like, okay, this could be a great dress to sell. But for some reason, I just didn't look up the brand. I was so smitten with this dress that I didn't even look up the brand to see how much I can make off of it. And I was just like, okay, like, this dress is beautiful. It is amazing for this time of year with New Year's coming up and it's sequins. I'm gonna go ahead and just do it. I'm gonna just buy this dress. For some reason, I didn't research the brand, and I don't know why I didn't do that. Because every time I'm in a thrift store now, I'm always, if I see something that I think could be of value, I'm going to look up the brand. I'm gonna see how much it typically sells for, how much it is with new with tags and from the store. I'm gonna go through all of that while I'm at the thrift store. But I was just so taken aback with this dress that I was like, okay, even if I sell this for $30, like, this is still a good profit for me. And I think I bought it for like around $10, which is a little on the higher end when you are shopping at a liquidation outlet or you're shopping at a thrift store, but I just thought this dress was worth it. And it was new with tags. It fully had the tags still attached. It was in amazing condition, and you could tell no one had worn this dress. I don't know how it ended up at Dirt Cheap, but it was definitely, it was one of a kind, and it was the only one there. There were no issues with it. It was in perfect condition. And that's all to say, I went home and I was like, let me do some more research on this dress before I put it out. And I had no idea. So the brand is Just One Answer. And I didn't know what that was. So I looked it up, and Just One Answer is a nice little clothing store, and they have really good pieces, like pretty expensive, like not very expensive, but pieces around like $100 to $200. So I found that dress, and long story short, I was able to flip that $10 dress and make a $90 profit by selling it for $100, like 2 days after I put it on Depop, which was so incredible, and I was so happy about that. And that was probably like at that point when I was reselling, because I was still very new to reselling when I did that, when I found that. That was probably one of my biggest flips, and I was just so excited for that. And I still think about that dress to this day, and I'm hoping it's in a happy home because it was such a phenomenal sequence dress. And I don't know why, but I was definitely just so head over heels. And in a moment like that, I don't know why I didn't research it, but I am glad that I decided to go through and buy it anyways, because that was a good moment of me trusting my judgment and me trusting what I know about being a reseller, especially because that was around Christmas time when I bought that. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, well, even if this doesn't sell right now or whatever, like, this is still a good party dress. This is a great New Year's dress. Like, this is a great event dress. And I don't know if I have that type of customer base, but if someone down the road wants something like this, like, even if I have to keep it for a couple of months, I just want to get this dress because it is amazing. And I'm very happy that I just did it. I just bought it and I just went about it. I still don't know why I didn't research it. I think that was because I was so new into my reselling game, and that was the point when I was just like, oh, this is pretty, I'm gonna buy it. And I definitely learned from that. I learned from that very quickly that you don't just buy something because you like it, you buy something because of the value and all of that. But in that moment, I was very happy with my personal judgment telling me to buy that, because it ended up being one of my biggest sells and my biggest sell up to that point. And it was fun. It was really fun getting to just get to flip that and have that moment where I was like so excited in my new journey of being a reseller, and I was just like, oh my goodness, I just made a humongous sale. So that was a lot of fun. But that is to say, don't be like me in that situation. You might find a beautiful sequins dress, but it could be worth nothing. So make sure when you are in the thrift store or you are in the liquidation outlets, you are looking up these brands, because I just don't understand why I didn't look up the brand. But I remember the feeling I had when I looked up the brand after I had gotten home with the dress, and I was like, oh, this was a good decision by me. So I'm very happy with that. The next, we're gonna move on to another pretty bad experience, and this one is a little bit controversial. If any of you guys have had a great experience selling with ThredUp, please let me know, because my experience selling on ThredUp was so awful. It was not good at all. I had sent so many amazing items. I made sure when I was sending into ThredUp, I was going to sell the type of brands that they like to sell, because I knew I was not going to make money selling like niche things or quirky things. I was going to make money if I was selling them store, like mall store brands, or I was selling them things that were new with tags, all of that. And I sent so much stuff. I had not really looked a lot into ThredUp like I should, but this was during COVID, when really the only action you could get in the reselling world was ordering or selling to ThredUp. So I was like, I need to clean things out. So I'm just going to sell to ThredUp. And I had seen so many other resellers talking about it on social media, so I was like, let me just do it and see what this is all about. So I sold to ThredUp all right, and I ended up losing money. Like, I sent them, I remember I specifically sent them a new with tags BB Dakota dress that had a $80 retail value, and they ended up giving me like nothing for it. And I had gotten that dress, I spent like a decent amount on that dress. I spent probably around $10, like the other dress, because I know I got that one at Dirt Cheap also. But they literally didn't give me anything of value for that dress. And the thing is, like, you have to pay to have your stuff sent back to you if you don't, I guess, agree with the value that they put on it. But it's just like, it was so ridiculous and it was so expensive because it's just like, I don't want to pay to get it back. And I just didn't really know what I was doing. But the experience with ThredUp was not good. I looked back at my receipt and after all of the stuff that I sent them, and I sent them a big box of stuff, I got $13. And they told me I had to pay to get my items back. And I was so mad. It was not a good experience. I like shopping on ThredUp. I like finding the items there on ThredUp. But my selling experience was just not that great. So this is nothing against the company. It's just the experience I had selling was not great. But also, I wish I had done more research before I even did it. And that is on me. Make sure you are doing your research when you are trying to sell to these places or trying to get anything from these places. Like, do your research on what kind of brands they want. Do your research on what kind of, like, what they're like. Because I just went into this blindly. Another moment where I was pretty naive in the thrift store. And I learned from that. And I am glad that I learned from that, because that was not a fun experience. Seeing that you got $13 back from a huge box that you had sent to them, and then they were going to charge me to get it sent back to me. So I ended up just literally letting them keep it, and I regret that so much. But they only give you like a certain time window to get your items back, and I just let it pass. And the whole experience was not fun, but nonetheless, I'm telling you, do more research than I did. I just, I don't know what I was thinking, but it's fine now. You live and you learn. I definitely lived and I definitely learned, but I learned that that is something that I don't want to partake in ever again, especially without the proper research. So I might sell to ThredUp again one day, but I need to know everything possible before I give in to selling on ThredUp. So that's just my personal experience. It was not a good experience. I was not very happy with the situation, but nonetheless, you live and you learn. I can't say that enough, but in that situation, I truly had to live and I truly had to learn from it. So yeah, now we're going to move on to the last story I have. The last story I have is another story just about vintage finds, but instead of a specific instance, I just want to bundle all of it together. When I was in the prime of my reselling journey, I was so into selling individual items and selling like vintage pieces. And this is going back to a greater overarching story, of course, but I want to continue doing that. And I have stopped doing that because if you know anything about me or if you know anything about my business, right now and for the last 2 years, I have been selling mystery boxes. That's primarily what I do. And I sell them on Etsy of different shirts, like vintage shirts or team shirts, whatever it is. But I haven't sold those really good vintage pieces in a while. And one time I had returned home to my original hometown and I was just shopping at the local Goodwill and I found this vintage 1997 Rolling Stones World Tour sweatshirt, and it was just amazing. Finding staple vintage pieces is so much fun. It's just so much fun, and it's those moments when you're in the thrift store and you're just like, I found it. Like, I found what I was looking for. You didn't go into the thrift store looking for anything, but when you see it, you find what you're looking for. And I miss those moments, and that's something that I am going to work on in the new year, is trying to find those really nice vintage one-off pieces that I can put onto my sites and resell. Because selling vintage is just, it's so different than selling fashionable things or whatever, because these vintage items typically have a story with them, and or they mean something to the person who's about to buy it, and it feels really good. So I'm just actually looking through my Etsy right now of things that I've sold in the past, and finding that vintage Rolling Stone sweatshirt, I ended up flipping that and selling that for $100 because it was a beautiful sweatshirt that was in amazing condition. I used to sell vintage jerseys, so I had a vintage Georgetown jersey, I had a vintage Portland Trail Blazers jersey. That was a fun time where I would try to find jerseys. I'm a big sports person, so being able to thrift these really cool jerseys of retired athletes and stuff like that, it was just so much fun. So I really do miss that point where I was vintage shopping specifically, and I'm making that a New Year's resolution to go out of my way to find these vintage items and try to sell them. So I'm very excited, and that's it. That was my last best experience, but it's more of an overarching of telling you guys what my New Year's resolution is, and it's to get more into trying to find these vintage pieces and find these pieces that tell stories. And it's a lot of fun when you find those items, and I just want to keep that feeling going because I haven't really found a good vintage item in years. And that's not my New Year's resolution. Some of my best thrifting experiences is when I'm in the thrift store and I see something that I know is of value, and I'm just like, yes, like I found it. It's amazing. Life is good. And those are some of my favorite experiences. And I hope that those are some of y'all's favorite experiences. So that's it for this week's podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed this story time. I'm just listening to some of my best and worst thrifting experiences since I became a reseller. And I will be back with a new podcast episode in a couple of weeks. I'm trying to keep these consistent. It has been a little hard, but as of right now, I think we're going to go to a one a month format. I will try to come back more frequently and get to the point where I can do once every 2 weeks. But for now, you can expect to hear my voice again in December. And I'm just so excited to be back on this podcast. And I have a couple of episodes coming up. I don't want to go ahead and reveal because I might change my mind. That's just how life goes. But I have some good episodes coming up. And I can't wait to continue to talk to you guys as the year closes out and also as the new year rolls in. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's podcast episode. Bye.